Hi, I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop. So happy to be hosting the Heroes in Our Midst podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out. It is brought to you by Elite Sports Injury. With five locations in Winnipeg, they are there when you need physiotherapy or massage therapy. Your body's worth it. Make the time for yourself. Now, if this is your first time visiting, amazing, because I know you will not be disappointed with today's story. Our guest today is an incredible athlete. In fact, one of the best female hockey players to ever come out of Finland. She is a two-time Olympic medalist and a four-time world championship medalist. And somehow, at one point in her playing career, she even found her way to the University of Manitoba, which led to a national championship for the Bisons. Her name is Venla Hovi. And she has now found her way into the coaching world, and with so many lessons and experiences along the way for her, I asked her to lead us through her story from beginning to now, and she was more than willing.
I was born in a city called Tampere in Finland. There's about 250,000 people there, so decent sized city in the Finnish scale, I would say. I was a very, very active, determined little girl. I kind of followed my brother's footsteps, who played hockey and soccer and all different sports. And it was pretty much, when I started walking, I started skating too, and being active. I got figure skates for my Christmas present when I was 2 years old, and it didn't take me long. Apparently I tried them once and threw them away and started crying because I wanted the same skates as my brothers. And that's kind of where my hockey journey started. But growing up in Finland was great. It's a beautiful country, lots of outdoors, and we have a cabin there. So pretty much 4 months out of the year, we lived at the cabin and then the rest in the city. So I kind of got the best of both worlds of living on a lake and in that environment, and then also living in the city.
Yeah. So how many brothers do you have? And often that's a common thing. You know, you get into certain lines of your life based on the family that you were born in. And obviously you had that as an example and you wanted to be just like them. I love that.
Yeah. I have one brother and he's 3 years older than me. He played, I think he was about 18, 19. When he ended his career.
So that got you onto hockey skates.
Yeah.
And did it take off for you right away? Were you one of those kids did you have to play with boys at first? How did that work in Finland?
Yeah, I played with boys first. I didn't really think there's any other girls that played hockey in the world, to be honest. I didn't know anything about it, but I also didn't really care either. I loved, personally, like, I know there's a lot of stories where, you know, things didn't go well for girls playing with the boys, but I loved playing with the boys. Mm-hmm. Obviously there were challenges and then parents that weren't accepting, but for myself, the boys were always great to play with.
Yeah.
I was a pretty fierce competitor. So, I think that helped me in that environment where I felt comfortable and I was, you know, playing with people that were like-minded.
Yeah. Was there an age where you started to sort of stand out, or where you knew that this could go beyond just where you were at the time, or that could, you know, lead you into more hockey in the future?
I definitely knew already in daycare that I'm going somewhere. I think that was that realistic at the time? I'm not sure, probably not, but that was my goal since daycare, that I'm going to play in the Olympics, and also wanted to play in the NHL, but that didn't happen because there was none. So I was pretty young when I knew or wanted to go really, really far with hockey.
So how did you pursue that then? Bring us, you know, keep us going in your story to how you pursued that and what it was like for you, and maybe to the point of when you did start playing with other women.
Yeah. So and kind of to clarify, like, I played many other sports. Hockey was just one of them. I was very passionate about soccer. So up until I was like 16 years old, I played 6 months of hockey and 6 months of soccer. So I switched completely. I didn't do any hockey in the summertime other than off ice training and like shooting pucks and things like that. But I didn't go on the ice at all during 6 months out of the year. That's pretty common in Finland.
Okay.
It's changing, unfortunately, a little bit now. But so soccer was kind of went hand in hand with that. And outside of that, I played every possible sport, if not like competitively, I played them to a certain degree, and I've always enjoyed all sports. I don't like I love hockey, but it's hard for me to even say that that's my favorite sport because I love so many. But yeah, I obviously kept moving forward. I never really lost track of that dream of playing in the Olympics. I played with the boys. I'm trying to think what age I was when I started to play with girls too. I think it was maybe like 12, 13 years. And I went on to play with on a girls team, but I continued playing on a boys team. And then I had my first games with the women's team. And that was around I was 12 or 13 years
Wow.
old. So I remember one season I had like two or three teams that I was playing for, and they were completely different levels. So with the girls, I was like fairly dominant. Which was great because I got the confidence to hold on to the puck and score goals and things like that. And then with the boys, I was a pretty even competitor, which I really enjoyed. And then going on to playing on a women's team where I have now 30-year-olds around me was really nerve-wracking.
Wow. Like literally a girl among women.
Yeah, exactly. I
Wow.
remember my first line mates, they were both in their 30s, in my like first year when I was like, yeah, around 13
Yeah.
years old.
And how did they react to you? I mean, they could have been your moms.
Yeah, honestly, like at the time, Finland didn't have a lot of female players. And I think that was the route that everyone went through. Like, if you were a competitive player, you entered women's teams at a really early age. So we're used to that. And still to this day, not at the age of 12, probably anymore, but the best players go on to play on women's teams when they are, 15 years old. So I think we're used to that. It was a great experience in many ways, but it was also a horrifying experience in many ways. But yeah, I continued to work extremely hard. I just remember when I look back on any of those years, like during the summers, I did soccer, and then I had, 2 to 3 hours of off ice training for hockey. And I remember my brother got like workouts from his team when he was obviously 3 years ahead of me. And I didn't really have off ice training plans yet at the time. And he wouldn't do them, he would go fishing or something else. And I took all of his workouts and I did them by myself at our cabin. And I always loved training, which I think was a big benefit. Big strength of mine because I never necessarily thought I was by far the most skilled player, but I had the drive to train, and I think that kind of kept pushing me forward.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you're a huge fan of what multi-sport can do for a young athlete, aren't you? I mean, it
Absolutely.
obviously balanced you and kept you so fit.
Yeah, it keeps you fit, and it's just like it develops your hockey IQ, like any sport you play, whether it's hand-eye coordination from badminton, whether it's soccer, lacrosse. Like I wish kids and most likely their parents just trusted that process of
Yeah.
giving their kids the time to develop and learn those skills, and not kind of kill their passion with hockey 24/7 all year round.
Yeah, I know they get very worried, right? If they're not in every single camp or every single, and really, even that relaxation and refreshment of the mind, it would be beneficial too, wouldn't it? Even mental health wise. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So in Canada, when girls seem to get to, a certain teenage age, they either make a decision to move to Calgary, or whatever, wherever they're from, or, to a center. Was Finland similar to that, or were you where the center was, or how did that work for you location wise?
At the time, there was no like actual center. The city where I'm from, it's a big hockey city, and we had a really, really successful women's team within the city. So once I was done with playing with the boys and the girls, and I full time moved on to play on a women's team, like it was really challenging for me for sure. There's a lot of Olympians, a lot of national team players on that team. So I was constantly up against way older players that have gone through it all already. Yeah.
Now, were you still in high school here when you were on this women's team? And how did school fit into this and the timeline of that? Like,
I was
balancing
in high school, and high school was the time that I started kind of knocking doors. I was 14 when I made the under 22 year olds national team for Finland. So the national team camp started kind of rolling during that time when I was 14. It was really, really busy time because I had soccer, I had the national team camps, and then I had the hockey. And I can't remember exactly what year high school it was, but looking back at my like report card, I missed half of the year.
Oh my.
Yeah, 50%. But my high school was extremely, extremely accommodating. I always did like okay at school. I wasn't like a top-notch student, but I did pretty well. So I always just convinced my teachers that, no, I'll take care of this. I'm going to get it done. And they always let me go to every single event. And yeah, I missed 50% of school. So here I am trying to teach these teenagers to not miss school, but I'm looking back and I'm like, I missed half
you
of
sure
it.
So. So Vela, how do you think, you know, it sounds to me like here you were this young woman, so driven to play hockey and missing so much school. Did you have, you know, did you have friends? Did you have a peer group? Like you were playing with these older women. How did you find that fit for you? Or were you just so in love with hockey that no matter where hockey was, you were happy?
Yeah. Like even on our team, there were other people too, that were talented younger players that were on the team. So there were people that were a few others that were younger. You kind of had that range from that, you know, 14 to 30 something and anything in between. And you're trying to find your place and find your voice, and which at the time of the environment being pretty old school, like you didn't, you really had to consider what you said in the dressing room if you were going to say something, which has changed a lot now, which is awesome. But I had tons of friends from school. I'm not like that anymore, but somehow I just had endless amount of energy. So if I had any time, I would hang out with my friends from school. I had friends that did other sports, not just hockey players, I think, which was really healthy for myself to be with people that, you know, I didn't see all the time at the rink. But obviously playing team sports, your best friends kind of carry on from those teams. And some of those people that I played with back then are still my best friends back home. So
you know, 14 on this U22 team, and obviously life went on and you graduated from high school. And when did national team happen for you? I mean, you were already in the national program, but like the Olympic thing and really getting into that whole program. How did that play out?
I'm going to go back to high school still, because when I was 16, I actually moved to Canada for a year. Yeah. So that was always kind of my dream. Like Canada and hockey were like on my mind.
Yeah.
Like that's where I need to go. So I was 16. We go to school a little later in Europe than you do in Canada. So anyways, I was 16 and I entered this exchange program through school, and they placed me in Kitchener, Ontario. Okay. So I lived there in a host family for 10 months and played every possible high school sport. And that was an amazing experience add to kind of that mix. And I got to play with, I played on my boys' high school team, and then I played on the city's girls' midget team. So that was the first time I've played on a team with girls that everyone was the same age as I was. And I thought it was like amazing.
You know, it's neat to hear that perspective of how you viewed Canada and hockey. It is like that here. Even if you live here, you know, hockey is the sport that, you know, Canada is known for and all of that. But that really is true. Hey, that was a draw for you. And were those girls sort of at the level that you thought they would be, or what was that like for you?
I had no idea. I went on, it was interesting. I came to Canada. I ended up getting like pretty sick at the beginning. Uh-huh. So I missed a tryout for a team that was maybe like a little bit older and better than the team I ended up playing on. I was devastated. It was like the end of the world. I was like, that was the team that I wanted to play for. And I like I don't even know how I got the information of this team because there's no websites and stuff to look up things and, but anyhow, I missed that. And then they put me on this tryout for this other team. And I remember, like, right from the start, I couldn't believe it that there were so many girls that were around the same age and everyone's about the same level. Like, obviously, there's always depth to a team, and best players are a little bit better than the bottom end. But it was really, really impressive for me that I was around my age peer group, and it was really good hockey.
So you spent that time in Canada. What an experience. That's so cool you got to do that. You go back home and then you had what, another year of high school to
I had
play?
one more year of high school, and then I graduated, and obviously during the last year, I started looking into going to Division One, and the process is so different now when I look back. So the only thing I knew about Canada was, like, I know Toronto because I lived in Kitchener, so that's pretty close. And then I knew that NCAA, there was really no scouting at the time. Like, there was no way to be seen. So I knew that NCAA was in the States. So then what I did was I looked up on a map. I was like, okay, Toronto's here. So I know Toronto. I'm comfortable with that. So I'm just going to find a team the closest to Toronto across the border. So there was no consideration of, this is what I want to do for school. This is the team I want to play for. It was like, I just need to get there. And I didn't care about anything else. Like, I just want to get there because it's a huge deal at the time going from Finland to play in the NCAA. And I knew that the level is going to be good regardless where I go. And I didn't know anything about the schools. And then I found out that there's a Niagara University is right across the border. And I think I emailed, and then I called the coach. And I remember my mom was like, do not phone for a long time because it's really expensive. So I'm calling, and I'm like, with my still not great English, I'm like, Venla here calling. I would like a spot on your team.
And just a cold call.
Yeah, I sent an email, and then I phoned because I had been taught at home that it's always really good to call. Like, we didn't, like, in Finland, it was not allowed to text your coach that you're not coming to practice. Like, you had to call.
So your parents obviously were super supportive. I'm thinking a lot of parents would say, listen, school first or whatever, or if you don't know what you're studying, we're not gonna, right? Like you knew you wanted to play hockey, and were obviously your parents were 100% on board, or what was that relationship like?
Honestly, like, my parents weren't super involved ever in any of my sports. Like, they brought me to the rink, they dropped me off, they every now and then came to watch me, and sometimes told me you should probably slow down. Like, there was never, there was never any pressure. There was never of, you got to do this. Like, I pretty much made every decision within my our life or hockey career myself. And I was very independent from a very young age. So this process, it was kind of like they handed it over to me. They're like, if you figure it out, like, I guess you're going.
You know, that might be some good advice for some parents, isn't it? You know?
Well, even now when I'm coaching under 17-year-olds, like, it's way more impressive when I get an email from the actual player. A 15-year-old can email and say, this is who I am. This is who I am as a player and as a person, and I would love to come try out for your team, rather than it being driven by the parents.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great message, and thank you for sharing that. I think sometimes parents don't even know what they should do, and so just to know that, and I think you're right. It shows that that's what the kid actually wants to do,
Absolutely.
right? Yeah,
Yep. I
yeah,
don't think it's ever worked
yeah.
when it's not the kid's dream.
Okay, back to you though. We're and I'm really looking forward to talking about you and your coaching role, and that's coming yet. But there's still a lot more playing story for you to tell us about. So, what happened? Did you come to Niagara University, and where did you go from there?
So the coach from Niagara University, Margot Page, really, really high level female coach.
Right.
I had kind of broken into the Finnish national team stream at the time. And I've already, by this point, I think, had my first women's national team camp. And I'm like really fighting for a spot on the women's team. And I played for the under 20 year olds, under 22 year olds national team for a few years already. And she, I think she had a connection with the Finnish national team coach.
Okay.
So she then phoned him and it wasn't long. It was like week and I was on the team. As simple as that, you know, these, everyone here goes through these processes now where it's like the decision-making so hard and there's so many options, but I just gave myself that one option and and I went there. I didn't know anything about the school. I didn't know anything about, all I knew that they have a great coach. I had heard great things about Margo. Okay. And Margo was my second female coach in my career. And I just, that was one thing that I was really excited about, was full female staff at Niagara. And I went there and then some difficulties came after that.
Okay. Tell us about that.
I'm kind of backtracking why I actually went to play for the Bisons later on in my career. Sure. So my mom got really, really sick that year. So I was at Niagara. I was having the time of my life. I don't remember a period of time in my career that I got that much better in a very short period of time. Margo was the type of coach, she rewarded hard work and I worked. So I ended up playing like sometimes every other shift. I was on the power play as a freshman, PK. So when you play a lot, you get better. That's just how it works. And it was really, really competitive hockey for me. So I loved it. And then I think it was about November and my mom was diagnosed earlier with terminal cancer. And I think it was November when she got like a big drop happen in that illness. And I think by the time it was January, I decided I'm going to go home.
Right. So you stopped and you took a break from your hockey because family comes first. You go home to spend time with your mom. And were you doing any kind of hockey at that time or just spending time with her?
No, I went home. It was the hardest time of my life. And I remember my old coach from the women's team in my home city. She texted me. It was probably 2 days in when I landed. And she just texted, it would probably be good for you to get on the ice. So I probably took a break of 3 days after landing and I was on the ice and it was what I needed. It was the only place where, you know, I could go on and forget about it for 1 second. So that was awesome.
Yeah. And so how long did you have with your mom?
It was 5 years from the time that she was diagnosed when she passed.
Okay.
That constant battle of like in and out of the hospital and I got to spend a few years when I went back home, because that was 2008 when I went home and things got really, really bad and she passed 2010. So, yeah.
All right. And so then in that time, those 2 years time, did you start, were you playing hockey back in Finland?
Yeah, I went back on my, the team that I played for before, the women's team.
Yeah.
And I played my first Worlds actually in 2007.
So you were sort of now more with the national team thing. And I guess, was Niagara still waiting for you or?
I still keep in touch with both of the coaches from there. But I think it was, the decision was because I knew what was going to happen with my mom. And I knew that with cancer, you never know. No. Things could, you know, go down in a month or she might have another year. So I don't think they were waiting for longer than that first year. Right. And I told them like, listen, like I'm going to be here till the end of it all and then figure it out from there.
Exactly. In your figuring and in that time, obviously it was special and important to be at home with her and you were still playing, obviously, national team level hockey. Was it harder or like you said, was that really your sort of your safe place there or just a place you could sort of be you on the ice? And did you keep improving? Did you find that was a good time for your hockey?
Honestly, I don't really look back on any time that was really bad because as I said before, I loved it so much. I enjoyed it so much. So when you keep working on those details, like, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
The only thing that did come around that time, I started getting a lot of injuries, and those injuries lasted for about 5 years. That kept me in and out of the game, everything you could ever imagine, which is the downside of training too much.
Right. So 2007, you said world championships, you were already at a world championships. Give us the timeline now, Venla, to in your life right now. So 2010, your mom passed, and give us your timeline of hockey from sort of maybe after that.
Yeah. So 2010 was my first Olympics in Vancouver.
Yeah.
From there on, 2011, I still played hockey. I played for the women's team back home. Actually, I switched teams just to get a new kind of motivation and different people around me. So I did switch teams within Finland, but I took a full year out from the national team. That was after my mom passed. I was not mentally in the right place. I didn't have the energy. I loved playing, and I went to practice every day, and I was in great shape, but I just couldn't do the national team. So I told the coach, I'll be back, but I can't do this right now, which was, yeah, I think, the best decision at that point. Went on to play at the Worlds then 2012, 2013. Then in Sochi in 2014 was my second Olympics. Women's hockey was starting to be so competitive that you had to train like a professional. You had to be a professional athlete, but I had no money at the time. So I'm like juggling jobs. I'm going to university in Finland. I'm training at 5 a.m. to go do something. I'm going to skate with the boys in the morning to have like a higher pace practice. Then I'm going to university. Then I'm going to my women's team practice. And by the time all that's done, and I might do a little bit of work somewhere at night, I'm having these days from like 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. So you can only imagine what the recovery looks like. There is none.
None.
And that was kind of the time things started to like get difficult. So I put everything what I had into that year of going into Sochi and being able to be part of that team. And after that was done, I had nothing left of me. I was mentally, physically, in every aspect, I was just exhausted. And I started to kind of not like hockey so much anymore because I'm getting older and I'm not feeling good. So I had another year off from hockey after that, focusing on my studies. So this was 2015. Again, I kept playing, training, doing everything, but I took it off from the national team.
Right.
So it gave me some relief of I'm not constantly traveling for camps. There's not that mental pressure on me of making a team. And I pushed on my studies and I wanted to get those done in Finland. So yeah. And then kind of same pattern again. So 2016, 2017 Worlds, played there, kept getting better. And then 2015, the year that I went to Bisons. Sorry, I'm constantly forgetting years, but right after Sochi, that year that I took off from the national team,
yeah,
I went to play for the Bisons. And that was the year that before that I had taken a really long break from hockey in terms of like, I didn't do as much as I had before. I still love the game. I just need to figure out a way to play where my life is more in balance, yeah, where my studies and my hockey and training go hand in hand. And then I found out about U Sport, and I had gotten connected with a few coaches from the Canada West, and there was no age limit. And I knew that Wickenheiser was playing for UFC.
Right.
And I started having these conversations with different coaches, and my kind of university dream in North America was like alive again. That ended so quickly at Niagara. So I was really excited. So Olympics are in February. So right after the Olympics, I finished my season with my team, which ended in sometime in March.
Yeah.
And then from March till September, when I went to U of M, I did not play any hockey.
Right.
I actually went to do adult gymnastics. I did things that I've dreamt about doing my whole life. And I was like, there's no better time to do it than now. Like, I'll do something completely else. I'm still going to stay in shape, but in a different way.
That must have been so much fun.
So much fun. But then the the fire to play again started to come back because I gave myself a break.
So a two-time Olympian, longtime national team player, how excited was the University of Manitoba coaching staff to to get you to join them?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm from Finland. We are not, in our culture, you are not allowed to brag about yourself or right. your skill set. We're very much like down to earth, humble people, which I've had to like learn to get out of it a little bit in North America. I think it is good to be confident, and it's good to be, it's good to know who you are and what you can give to a team. But even at this point, when I was talking to John Rempel, the University of Manitoba coach, like, I'm not thinking that I'm any better than anyone else. Like, I just wanted the experience of helping out a team to get better, be a leader, and be able to train professionally and get 8 hours of sleep at night. That was my goal.
So once you showed up, though, what was it like to, you know, meet the girls, meet John, play in the system of a Canadian university?
Yeah, they were really excited to have me there. But from the team's perspective, the players, they were horrified.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all like obviously a lot younger than I was.
Sure.
So they're thinking that this, I don't know how they pictured, like what they pictured me as being, but I was really, I'm a shy person meeting new people at the first time, especially if there's a lot of people around me. So I remember the team sitting at this field house, like we had some kind of training session, and I walked up to the team and I was like, hi, like, this is my name. And I'm like nervous.
Sure.
A lot of new people around me and fully new experience and whatsoever. And I think it was kind of 2 weeks in the dressing room. Everyone just kept kind of looking at me like, who is this person? Like trying to figure out like why I was there. Like, right. why would this Olympian come and play here? Yeah, it was probably like 2 weeks. And then people noticed that I'm just this really easygoing, normal person like anyone else.
And as you started to get connected, it must have really, I'm thinking it must have really taken a great turn in that, you know, were you able to feel like you started to fit in? And did they look to you as a leader at some point? And how did that dynamic change for you?
Yeah, the first year was difficult in many ways, like, because in Finland, I was, and on the national team, I'm surrounded by athletes. And I think a lot of people put the athlete tag on themselves just because they play university sports or whatsoever. But there's a big difference between a hockey player and an athlete. And I was surrounded by hockey players. I'm not saying these aren't good hockey players. I'm not saying they're not good people. I just didn't think that they really had an idea like what it takes to win, because it was kind of like Manitoba was similar to Finnish people, like humble and like,
yep.
There's a lot of similarities. Like, you know, we're just Manitoba. We're just the Bisons. And I was there and I'm like not settling for anything but winning. Yeah. So I think I brought in like a little bit of a new culture of demanding more from the players. Like
right.
we had our own beautiful dressing room. We had our rink, like we had strength and conditioning coaches. Like those things are, I don't take them for granted. And I think a lot of people in North America take those for granted at universities. Like I never had those facilities playing for a women's team in Finland. Like we would have like one spin bike that would be like, wouldn't even work. So wow. I was like living the dream. Like the facilities are amazing at any university level sport in North America. So I was a little disappointed to the girls of like how they treated it as if it's just like given.
Yeah, it was expected. Yeah,
it was expected. So I think I started demanding a little bit more of a, like, let's do this. Like, I'm not asking vocally, but I'm more of a lead by example person. So I'm going like hard at practice and people don't want to play against me in drills and I'm chirping them and whatsoever. And from first year of people, my teammates asking me, why are you doing a workout in the morning on a game day on the road? Or why are you like going in the gym? And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I was just like, they just don't know yet what it takes to be ready to play. And then I think it was by the end of my second year, I have now some girls that are just coming with me. And then the third year, which we won, which was my last year there, and I knew it was my last year, I started to have like a team of around me that understood what it took. And our team environment was amazing. We played for each other. That was also the Olympic year of Pyeongchang. So I was away a lot, but it didn't matter because the group was like strong enough to handle it on their own. I didn't have to be, they didn't need me for anything. So it was pretty awesome. And then we just kept getting better that year all the way up until we won the national championship.
You know, Venla, it's amazing to me when we think about what it takes to win, and when a player comes into a program and becomes that leader, and just how you're talking about how you just did it in practice. Like you didn't say, hey, you all need to come with me, or look, I'm going workout, right? Like, I think that was huge.
Yeah. Because and I also needed to understand that I can't focus on all these other people because I am training for the Olympics. And I can make decisions for them. And they were all really smart, intelligent people. So it's either they decide to do it or they don't.
Right.
And they did. They did the work. It's all on them to take the team to the next level.
Yeah. And what a great example. And, you know, if someone is going into a team and they feel like they're driven like you were, and they want so badly for the teammates to feel the same thing, and you, but there's an element of patience in that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. It is, because those are, they're small things, but those are the biggest changes that people are going to make because they've done things a certain way for so long.
Yeah.
And, but I think it just came from respect towards each other and really starting to like trust the process of we could win. We're not just Manitoba.
Exactly. Yes. The belief that they could actually win and be the best. So after your university experience and you won the national championship and then Pyeongchang happened in 2018.
Yeah. Both of those happened the same year.
Wow. What a year for you. Yeah. I want to touch a little bit. There's so many things we can still talk about, but I want to touch a little bit on your Olympic experiences. And 2010 was obviously tough with your mom and all of that and all the, you know, the closeness of that. Talk a little bit about the Olympic level of hockey for you. And maybe we don't have time to talk about all three at length, but, you know, maybe give me some highlights or what that was like for you to be at the Olympic Games amidst all the other things happening in your life.
Yeah. Well, Vancouver was amazing being first time there. It was very overwhelming. And I think the time kind of just passed me by because I didn't know what to expect. And I'm just looking left and right, like I'm grabbing food and there's Ovechkin's right beside me. And I'm just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And that was kind of that. It was awesome. Like probably the best Olympics in terms of environment, like in playing in Canada. And a lot of people were cheering for us. Like when Canada wasn't playing, they were cheering for Finland for some reason. So that was kind of cool. And then Sochi was the biggest disappointment in my hockey career as a group. We had a really phenomenal team. We were shooting for a medal. We lost against Sweden in the quarterfinals, didn't get to our potential at all. It was really, really tough after all the work we had put in. But that was the turning point for our team. That was like, okay, this isn't enough. Now we gotta, and then we took the team to a whole new level after that disappointment of like started doing things even better and better and better. And then that led us to Pyeongchang and also an awesome experience in Pyeongchang. The bronze medal, but I think just because I was older, I enjoyed it so much more. Like I just had fun with it. I was so like comfortable in my own skin that I wasn't really nervous. Like I just enjoyed, inhaled every second of it, which made it a really cool experience because I knew that that time flies by and it's really precious to be there for that short period of time. So
Yeah. Amazing how that perspective changes as you get older and as you have multiple experiences, not everyone gets to enjoy that. So when did you hang up your skates, so to speak, as a player?
So almost after that Pyeongchang year, but then the Worlds 2019 were in Finland, and I got a opportunity to play for the CWHL on a team with some of the best players in the world from Team USA, Team Canada. It was kind of like I called it the final challenge for myself of loving the challenge of going to play for a team that is so good that I need to fight for my ice time. So I played for the Inferno in Calgary that my last year, and then went on to, and then we won the Clarkson Cup, and then went on to the world, my last Worlds with Team Finland. And for the first time in Finnish hockey history, we made it to the finals. So thank God I played.
Well, that's probably what they said too. Thank God she came back and played with us.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like we lost the final. It was a really controversial thing that happened at the end, and I'm not going to go into that, but to myself, playing in the finals for the first time in my life, in my last game, I was like, this is it. I can't experience anything more, and I don't really want to. So,
Yep. So you knew it was time.
yeah, I knew, and I was so comfortable with that decision and happy about it.
Wow, what a journey. What a journey of determination and just sheer love of a game. And I think if young people can hear that, and anyone can hear that, actually, any of us can hear that. And if we are loving what we are doing, we can persevere through so much. I mean, you through relocation, through major loss in your life, and all of those things, and it not nearly always being easy, you just kept going because you knew you loved the game of hockey and the people that came with it that were surrounding you. And such an incredible end that you got to be in that World Championship final representing your
Yeah.
country. So amazing. Never mind three Olympics along the way, good or bad, that's an incredible accomplishment. And then you came here to Manitoba and helped us win one, which is amazing. A great example to so many of us in so many ways. I have to ask you what you're doing now after you're playing. I mean, a big part of what we can learn from you are now coaching. So tell us really a little bit about your journey from being that player. You did the world's mountaintop, right, experience. And did you right away know you were going to give back to the sport?
I had been coaching for a few years on the side, doing some camps and doing skill development, and I didn't want to coach. And I looked for jobs in other fields that I had studied in communications and in teaching, and I didn't find anything right away. I was also really tired from the playing, so I don't know if I took the job hunt as seriously right away as I could have. I kind of gave myself a little bit of time and was looking around what was out there. And then I got an opportunity to coach for the Jets hockey development in Winnipeg as a skills coach. So I took on that job.
Cool. So you took on that job, and where did that lead you next?
I took on that job, and then I was also assistant coaching the Bisons. That was really, really fun because I still coach some of the girls that I played with there, and I love the team, and I wanted to help them out, so I was doing that as well at the same time, and then I got more into the team coaching through that experience. And then there was an opportunity in the Okanagan to head coach the U17 female team, and a few friends of mine just shared it that this might be something that if you want to try the team coaching full time.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm not really ready to move anywhere. As you know, like my hockey career was moving and flying, and I was tired of moving. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then another person shared it, and then another person shared it. And then I was like, okay, I'll just send in an application. And then I moved to the Okanagan, to the West Coast, and took on the job. And I've been here now for 2 years coaching under 17-year-old girls.
Now, is the hockey coaching world, I mean, we see some incredible female coaches. Is it still a majority male coaches that are leading the way in the hockey world?
For sure it is. Yeah, absolutely. But there is a change happening for sure.
Yeah.
More and more female coaches coming in, and I think the system is finding more ways of keeping females in the game and letting them know like there's so many opportunities in hockey, not just coaching, but in any role in
Sure.
organizations. It is changing for sure, but there's long ways to go for it to be where females are considered you know, equal applicants versus their male counterparts when it comes to certain jobs. So, but going the right way.
Venla, when you talk about playing on a team and leading the way you did, you got on the ice and did it as a coach. I'm just curious, you know, how have you now gone into this role as the leader of a team? Are you still on the ice leading that way? Or how do you view that in terms of how you're going to lead a team to be the most successful it can be?
Well, it's a new role and I'm a rookie in this world of coaching. So I always tell people, like, I'm not a ready product and I will never be. Like, I'm still learning and I'm really vulnerable to that I'm making mistakes and I'm figuring this out. But with this age group that I have been now the 2 years, everything comes to relationships with the players. Like, you have to establish trust. You have to establish that trust of the players, knowing that you want the best for them and you're trying to help them and create the environment where they can feel comfortable and come talk to you. And a lot of those conversations aren't about hockey, because life is, as you know, there's many different aspects to it. So I want to get better at creating that environment where I create that trust with my players, and it comes, for me, it comes through honesty and being able to have the tough conversations sometimes too, where they can take that feedback and utilize it rather than, you know, feel offended, that they really feel like I am saying these things because I care and not because I'm, you know, trying to be mean. I am definitely finding my leadership as a coach. And for sure, there are similarities with who I was as a player. But yeah, I think it's a lifelong process. I'm not expecting perfection out of myself. I'm still hardworking, the same person that I was as a player, and trusting the process of one day I'll get there.
Venla, do you think you'll stay in coaching? Do you think that you will love it? Will hockey be what you do?
Yeah, I'm starting to love coaching more and more. I hope I get to stay in it for a long time. I hope things go that way, where I think it truly is the best job. Yeah, there's some new experiences coming up really shortly here, and I'm taking up on a new role, completely different type of role that I was in this year, and really looking forward to that and the growth.
Fantastic. Well, we will look forward to following you further into your career as you continue to affect young people right here in Canada. We're so happy that you're being in Canada and that you are affording us your experience and your journey and your life's work, really. We're going to have some fun with some rapid fire questions before we let you go. You are 100 years old. What is the story you most love to tell?
I would definitely tell a story. I can't mention right now one because there are way too many. I would tell a story definitely from a dressing room, me and my teammates, something fun that happened.
Who or what do you think people see when they see you? And is there something different you wish they would see?
They see a passionate, curious person. Is there something different? I wish they sometimes saw more patience.
What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
That I love knitting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What exhausts you?
Too much work.
And what energizes you?
People.
What was a moment of intense joy that you have experienced in your life?
Well, I just got engaged, so.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who are two or three people who have influenced you and how did they impact your life?
My grandma would have been one. I feel like I see myself in her. She was a very determined, fierce lady that lived in a different era than I did. And I can only imagine what courage it took for her to be who she was. My partner, Amanda, she actually played in Pyeongchang. Won a gold medal for Team USA. She's also a coach, is going to be actually a professional hockey player this upcoming season. She definitely inspires me every day, and we're in the same field, so we're constantly feeding off of each other. But yeah, she would be one. One more. This is not a person. This is actually our dog. I believe we can learn a lot from dogs, people that love dogs. Just the pure joy of being in the moment without a worry in the world and treating people with such kindness every day.
That's Venla Hovi. Thank you, Venla, for joining us and for sharing so openly about your story. We have become better because of it, so thank you. By the way, at the time of our interview, Venla was not at liberty to talk about her current coaching job, and the excitement that she alluded to in our conversation was that Venla is now the head coach of the Metropolitan Riveters, a professional women's ice hockey team based in East Rutherford, New Jersey, playing in the Premier Hockey Federation. Venla, all the best as you continue to work hard at creating relationships and finding the humans behind so many more incredible hockey performances yet to come. This is the Heroes in Our Midst podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Injury. Your body's worth it. Make the time for yourself. I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon.